The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What's going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 151. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? Things are looking a little bit different around here.
What is this? Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Brian Manjoma.
What's up, people?
And Adam Vale.
What's up?
All right, Throwdown 151, the first episode on Twitch Live.
Yeah, boy.
Yo, man, that's crazy, you know? So tonight we're being joined by our fellow YouTubers and the Twitch people. Very, very exciting, man. Good stuff. And Manny, I see what you're talking about when it comes to the sides. Like, every time I click on you guys' names, right, the menu pops up. But that's the way it's set it.
So you can go and check in the little things. The only thing you can't open up is the little chat window that pops up. But yeah, everything's all nice and covered on the sides.
Yeah, but since this is new, I just realized because normally I would look at things on my computer as we're doing this. Can't do that anymore, so that means I need to look at the show notes on my phone. So give me a second, please. But while we're doing it, I want to give a big thank you to Mr. Malik Forte, who joined us last week for episode 150 of Throwdown, which is fucking awesome.
Good stuff. It's always a pleasure to see Malik on the show.
You know, we also had our boy Riku-san-1, who was one of the founders of Throwdown, beyond that episode. And we also had Mr. Richard Bailey Jr. joining us for episode 150 of Throwdown. Your questions, man. Star studded.
Yeah, it's a triple whammy right there.
You know, Throwdown, man. That's how we do it, man. By the way, tonight we were supposed to have All Gamer Lives Matters, but he was busy working, so we'll try to get him on next week, you know. But yeah, Throwdown, yeah, man, that's what it's all about. You know,
it's one of those things that just happens. You know, sometimes people just can't show.
So, hey, listen, man, you got to make your money. You got to make your money.
Make your money.
All right. Again, I'm just vamping slightly. Okay, so tonight let's try some new. So tonight, we're gonna talk about, we're gonna give you our impressions of Tokyo Game Show. Right, that's the main topic. Then we're gonna talk about Phil Spencer's promotion, which is kind of interesting. We're gonna talk about how, for a brief moment, there was crossplay between PS4 and Xbox One. We're also going to talk about a nice tribute to Iwata hidden inside of every Switch. And I'm going to give you my impressions of Doom and Skyrim on Switch, as well as the new... I keep forgetting the name of the game. Evil Within. Evil Within 2. So I'm going to give you impressions of all of that nonsense, man. So let's start off right, man. Tokyo Game Show this year happened, as always, and... I'll wait. Manny, why don't you start us off with TGS? What were some of the highlights for you, man?
Well, hold on for a sec. Let me just pull something up.
Yeah. There we go. Yeah, we're trying some new shit here. I love the fact that when the menu comes up, you guys at home don't see this shit, you know?
So, right. Yeah.
Tokyo Game Show.
Yo. So, it's this year, obviously, unlike E3, there's not always those megatons, but there's those little fun things that kind of help you out, and kind of are interesting. So far what we saw, this was during the Sony press conference, which was like wall-to-wall trailers, which, obviously they kind of do it a little bit different than the Western guys do it. But, from what we saw there, we saw that Konami announced Zone of Enders Second Runner HD VR, which is kind of nutty. Yeah, so essentially it's another HD remaster of Zone of Enders 2, but this one you can play the whole game in VR mode. So everything. So the way they have the screen set up is that you look like you're in a cockpit, and then what it does is so that you know what moves that you're doing, it actually has a little JOT like hologram in the right corner so that you can just kind of see what it's doing. So it's a cool idea. I mean, granted, it's like, I don't know, what, 20-year-old game, more than that. And it can run in 4K because it doesn't have a lot going on in the background. So And I think the game's running in 60, which is interesting. The other thing was the
I got a quick question for you. Can you play that game without the VR nonsense?
Yes, you can.
Okay, good to know.
You can play it in VR, which allows you to play the full game in VR, and then it also allows you to play it outside of VR.
Okay, that's good to know.
One of the things I did notice is that they didn't show any of the cinematics, the animated cinematics in the game, and which leads me to one of two things. They're either redoing all the cutscenes, you know, with 3D graphics, or they're just using those old 2D cinematics from the original version of the game. So I think they're using those, and they just don't want to show them because they're kind of low res, especially watching them in 4K. It's going to be pretty. The next one, which was
your favorite.
Which is kind of a fun, crazy thing, which is this new game by Square Enix. What was the name of that game again? Last of Life, which is...
Or Left Alive.
Left Alive,
is
yeah.
It left, is it, I don't know the name of the... It's the I call it the Shinkawa game. That's the what
Shinkawa
I'm
game. Yeah, that one's an interesting one because it's Koji, Shinkawa works with Kojima Productions. And all of a sudden, hey, look, he's doing this game, but obviously it's probably some sort of freelance project, kind of like what he did with Call of Duty and what he did with the Wonder Woman comic book. So I think it's kind of cool that, you know, Kojima's kind of letting his people kind of explore their different sorts of things, you know, outside of the company, especially somebody like Shinkawa, who has a style that's so iconic and his design work is so iconic. Why wouldn't you let him go and do some other things while, you know, you're waiting for shit to happen?
Yeah.
You know?
Now, I wonder if like Konami like had him held down, you know, as far as like
well, if you know anything about Japanese studios, yeah. The only games that you ever did see, there are a couple of games that he did do artwork for, and those were just Konami games. Like he did some sort of crazy samurai game that was only released in Japan, like he did the cover art for it. But yeah, you would never see any of, while he was working at Konami, you would never see any of his artwork on anything but Konami, or maybe like a special promotion with something that's not game related. But I'm sure the way Japanese studios are, they just kind of, you know, do it that way. So,
One interesting note about Left Alive is that at the end, it's a Square Enix game, right? So, the end, it showed the only platforms was Steam and PS4, PlayStation.
Yeah. So
why no Xbox? Curious.
Steam VR. That's what it said. Steam VR.
Yeah, but he's wondering why no Xbox? Why no Xbox? Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, here's the thing. I mean, in Japan, PlayStation's kind of top dog, so they're not going to waste their time with that.
Yeah, pretty much, you know.
You know? I'm sure that's why a lot of those things on there, and they kind of have a sense of which things would go on Xbox and which one, you know. What was the other? There's quite a bit of other kooky things that were happening there, but yeah, those are some of the ones that were showed up in the Sony press conference. Yeah. You guys saw anything?
Yeah, for me, the big one, and it started off as a rumor earlier that week, Dragon's Crown for PS4.
Oh yeah,
very big news, Dragon's especially Crown. And when the rumor came out, I was like, I hope to, you know, Zeus, that it's actually cross-play, you know what I'm saying? Because remember, the original Dragon's Crown, you could start off on the PS3, then move on to Vita, and then back and forth. You could do it with all three systems now. Fucking amazing, you know?
Oh, yeah, so super cool. The other one...
I know you like Dragon's Crown too, man.
Yeah, it was good. Like, I had it on PS3, but I know... I was impressed that it had cross-play with Vita. That's stuff that should have happened way more often. You know?
Oh, what's even cooler? That's a good transition. What's even cooler about this one is this game play. You can play with people on Vita, and you can play with the PlayStation 3 people.
Yo, man, it's crazy. Yeah,
so all three of them. I don't know. I think also maybe you can continue your save from each one too, which is kind of nutty.
Yeah, Sony, they have crossplay with their own systems, but not with other people. We're going to talk about
that later. They play nice with other guys.
That was cool. And then VanillaWare has another new game, like 13-something or other. I don't know what's going on in that game. All I know is VanillaWare, so I'm down, you know? And also, for me, I went crazy. Virtual On is coming back, man. Like, after...
Virtual On.
Oh, my God, man. Oh, Hold on, I gotta calm down right now. Okay, apparently, and I didn't know this, there was a Virtual On game for PS2. I didn't know about that shit. So the last Virtual On game I played was the one on Sega Saturn in the 90s. So seeing this shit, I'm like, oh my God, I've been waiting 20 years for another Virtual On, man. Very, very excited about that shit, you know? Woo, boy, can't wait. And there was something else. They showed some more, Fist of the North Star, which you already know, man. You already know.
I need that shit.
Yeah, right. Can't wait for that shit. And I think that's pretty much like, and then again, the Shinkawa game. I was like, the fuck is that shit? It looks like Metal Gear. And apparently I learned that the Front Mission Evolved Universe. I'm like, who the hell remembers Front Mission?
Wow. Yeah. Front Mission.
I never played any of the Front Mission games.
Neither have I. I don't know. Like, I know about it. And by the way, it's actually Front Mission. I keep calling it Front Mission Evolved because that's the name of the very last game that ever came out. This episode actually called it Tokyo Game Show Evolved. That's a little bit of a nod there.
There was also the bug game, Earth Defense Force.
Yeah, so it's weird.
They showed two of them. It looked like the previous Earth Defense Force, right? For like maybe PlayStation 3 or something like that, or PlayStation 2. It's a weird one. PlayStation 3, and then they showed another one later on in the thing, which looked like Super HD version, and everything looked like, you know, like destructible backgrounds and all kinds of other crazy shit. So I'm like, what's going on here?
Yeah, I want to give a quick shout out to Jeffrey, who's watching us on Twitch. Jeffrey, we will talk about Android 21. Don't worry about it. So. What's I going to say again? Yeah, Virtual On was also, this was just announced today, it's going to be one of the playable arcade games inside of Yakuza Kiwami 2, man.
that is awesome. I cannot wait for that.
So that's cool. But other than that, Joey says he has to go later, man. Yeah, don't kill yourself. He's driving, listening to this shit.
Yeah.
Yo, you can watch us again when you get home, bro.
Where
you could change to your alter ego, a fan of Ash. I know who you are, man. What's that going to say again? Also need to address this, right? Monster Hunter, right? Because I saw some people, man, you and I talked about this. People were complaining, like,
oh, yeah,
why are they devoting so much time to Monster Hunter? You have no idea
money how maker.
Monster Hunter is in Japan, bro.
Yeah, oh, dude, yeah. Yeah. Prince money, man.
Damn right.
And not only this, you know, okay, a regular Monster Hunter game would have already been big, but this is a brand new one with a brand new engine, new mechanics, new everything. So people are fucking hyped. That's why they have that special edition console over there.
Yeah.
And you know me, guys, I'm not into Monster Hunter. I want to buy this shit, you know? I can't wait.
They're doing a lot of really cool stuff. Essentially, they're not using that dirt old PlayStation 2 game from like 20 years ago. They actually went in and made a whole new game from the ground up, as opposed to just rehashing and retexturing the last game. I mean, the one for the Switch, you know, that game is. That's just the last iteration from like the Wii or Wii U.
Yeah,
just that's retextured all it is. For the Switch.
This shit is not, I mean, though. This is something else completely.
That's all new. There's all new classes inside of there. Chris, I know you will be happy. There's characters with guns now.
We got guns now, man.
got guns.
That's what I was listen. I was gonna get me to play it because I'm like, you got guns in that bitch? Okay.
Oh, I got big guns.
They also look like they went with a lot faster of a battle system.
Yeah.
So like, you know, before it was like every, you know, it was more like things were very heavy and weighted and stuff, kind of like the way Bloodborne is, where it's like you have a big sword and it's really slow. This one looks like they're kind of like Final Fantasy swords. Like you could flip them around and jump in the air and do all kinds of combos, which I think would make the game a little bit more appealing to general people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. So that's pretty awesome. Chris, what do you think of TGS, man? What were some of the highlights for you?
I'm just impressed that they changed Monster Hunter at all. They were all cookie cutter. Yep. Those people ate that up. Every Monster Hunter was the same freaking game, you know? So it's good to see that. The Left Alive, I was surprised at because I didn't see that coming. I thought all those guys were on Death Stranding and that was it. I thought that was the fission of everybody from Konami that worked with Kojima and everybody there who didn't want their LinkedIn ruined for life, you know?
I think at least with somebody like Shinkawa, I'm sure that I think, you know, he's one of the guys that kind of helped, you know, start that company. So I'm sure you're seeing like this game is not the only thing we've seen new from him. You know,
I just didn't know he was doing it. It was very just like very quiet until now, you know.
I think also like for a lot of it, they're probably waiting for the tech guys to kind of get the engine up and running. You know, like granted he did all the different designs and stuff like that, and he has to approve everything, but he still also has to wait for people to do shit. So I mean, there was a good, who knows how long ago that Shinkawa actually started working on this? Because I mean, I know that after they finished, after they had that while where they weren't really doing anything. So maybe he's like, hey, you know what? I don't know what's coming up. I'm going to take this Square Enix gig for, you know, a little bit while we get the company up and running.
I wonder if Brett will get into Monster Hunter because they announced that DLC there for Story.
Mm. Yeah, maybe, right?
Yeah, it's got Zelda in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, for Switch, right?
Yeah, the Switch one, I think Link isn't part of the deal. It's just called Legend of Zelda DLC. I didn't actually see it.
Yeah, what else, man? You know, what else did you see? Because, and I'll get to my kind of negatives in a little bit, but what else did you catch from?
That was pretty much it. Like, I don't care about Sonic Forces, so I know I saw that, and they were like, "Oh, look, Shadow," and I was like, "Oh, who cares?"
Yeah, whatever. You know, let's just be real here. Who cares? You know,
yeah.
We got Sonic Mania, man. We're good. You know.
Yeah, it's classic. So, so Death Stranding is what, holiday next year? Was that confirmed or?
Was it? I didn't see anything about Death Stranding.
No, I didn't see it.
No, it's not there.
Oh, okay. Oh. All right. I thought there was something about
Chris. You made up your own Tokyo Game Show, man.
Yeah, maybe I dreamed it.
I'm a like, better one, you know, because this one was a little bit kind of just being.
It was
real.
Dry. Other than that, yeah, the other stuff I really didn't care about. I didn't pay attention to much else.
Yeah, like you know, a lot of us had to stay up to like 3 a.m. you know, to watch this shit.
Yeah,
not worth it. I could have just waited until I could have waited to hear about Virtual On in the morning. You know,
They also did their little re-release of Final Fantasy IX for PlayStation 4.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. You know,
They
came out in all markets. That was the funny thing. I thought it was just going to be in Japan.
No, it's for everything. They also announced the you know, what's his face from the latest Final Fantasy in the Dissidia game.
Oh, Noctis.
There's all this. Noctis. They put him in there. It's a kind of a weird thing. Like that. You know, I noticed we saw a little bit more VR stuff at the Tokyo Game Show than we actually did at E3, where there was obviously the Zone of Enders game. There's also that odd that you know someone like you could watch movies or watch concerts in VR, which is kind of.
I'll say this: like Japan has embraced it way more. Here it's dead. I agreed with Tony. Like here it's dead as like 3D TVs. You might as well put them together. Over there though, they embrace it. They're using it for different stuff. You know, they're gonna apply it to everything, medicine, porn, whatever.
Especially the Japanese, let's just be honest. You know?
Yeah, man. They nearly killed each other to get to that porn simulator last year.
I heard about that. I heard about that, boy.
So, yeah. So.
Nice.
But, Let's quickly talk about Dragon Ball FighterZ. They announced three new fighters. One of them is actually really fucking new, you know? But before we get to that, Manny, your boy's in it, man.
Yo, Yamcha. Man. Yamcha Chinchilla. So, yeah, it's he's probably my favorite character from the Dragon Ball Z series. One, I know everybody's like, oh, man, he dies so quickly. But if you think about it, just think about it. He's a normal dude. Like, not a normal dude, but he's essentially on the level of, like, he's stronger than most people out there, and he's kind of held up against some of those things. But it's like, once they got into Super Saiyan battles, in the later stuff, obviously he couldn't keep up. But it's nice to see him in there. He's always a cool, fun character. Yo, man, why is Gohan always stealing my dude's hair, dudes, though?
You got him. You got Tenshin Han. He's in there.
Tenshin Han, yeah.
And his assist, his assist is Chaozu, you know?
Yep. And I wonder if Yamcha has Puar. They didn't say that.
Yeah, they didn't say that. And then, interestingly enough, they got a brand new character called Android 23. Now, her whole backstory is that she's supposedly smarter or as smart as Dr. Gero, and she was designed by Akira Toriyama. Basically, Bandai Namco, they came up with the idea of her, right? Then they told Akira Toriyama about it, and he did his design on that. And obviously, when people, you know, saw the picture of her, because let's just be honest, she's kind of thick, they went crazy. Like, this is amazing. You know? And even Bandai Namco got in on the actor. Like, hey, here's the story trailer for Dragon Ball Z. The plot thickens. I'm like, oh!
Well, you know, the thing is that Akira Toriyama never made his characters thin.
No, he never did. Always, you know, even Bulma.
Like, they're always, stacked, even Bulma's kind of,
you know?
Yeah, she's kind of, they're all kind of, all the women are in the things are kind of chunky. I guess the most, the thinnest looking one is probably Android, blonde-haired Android. I can't remember
18,
name.
Yeah.
Yeah, Android 18, but yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool. So, and this game is going to have like an actual story mode too, you know? And it's like an Elseworlds type of story or something like that. So that's kind of cool too, you know? I'm down with that, man. Very good stuff.
Which probably explains the state of some of the characters in the thing. Like, how is it that Cell and a lot of the other characters exist?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Cell was dead. Cell was dead by the time Majin Buu came around.
Yeah. Go ahead, Carlos. What were you going to say?
I'm still just surprised that this game doesn't come out till next year. Like, there was, like, the beta came out today. I mean, this week. And then, like
yeah, and you know how I got down on that, man.
Yo, man, we said, check out that stream if you have, man. It's, yeah. it's on the channel. Yo, that game is so fire, man. I want to play it so bad, man.
Yo, like I said, man, Bandai Namco, they're trolls, man. Because they put out that fucking thing, the beta, during the same weekend where they knew motherfuckers were reviewing Marvel's Capcom Infinite. You know? Yeah. So I'm there trying to write my review, and I'm like, thinking about Dragon Ball. I'm like, I'm going to play some more, man. This shit's crazy right now. You know? Hype for that game. Like, I think most of us in here are going to get this game, which is interesting because none of us really like Dragon Ball Z games. Let's just be real.
Yeah.
You know?
Most of the, I mean, even going back to the Super Nintendo, most Dragon Ball Z games are pretty bad.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, they're kind of, you know, they mostly depend on the fact that they're a Dragon Ball Z game. That's pretty much it, you know? But it looks like the Arc System Works, at least for this game, they really wanted to do something, you know, like that felt like those older games, but kind of, you know, was just like their pedigree of games. I mean, Arc System Works makes such great fighting games. I mean, a lot of them, you know, some of them haven't even come out here. Like they did an amazing, like a while ago, they did a really great a Fist of the North Star game. They did Persona of 4 Arena. You know, there's a lot of games that they did. You know, obviously they do the Guilty Gear game. So they got a lot of good stuff. And speaking of Arc System Works,
there's another
game that that's getting a little bit of a something. So this game is called the Blaze Blue Cross Tag. And obviously you know what that probably means, right? It means it's a tag, it's a tag game.
It means X gonna give it to you.
Yes. So what's kind of cool about this game is that they've only announced a few games, a few characters so far, but it's, you know, the main character from Blaze Blue, the guy in the red, I can't remember the dude's name. Then what's his face from Persona 4, the Persona 4 protagonist who's in Persona 4 Golden Arena, right? And then there's this character, which is not even a video game character. You've heard of her before, heard of this show before, Ruby. Anybody heard of it? It was like a CG show that was made by the guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay, I'll give you a little history on Ruby. Ruby was actually made by this guy who used to make these really awesome fight scenes with video game characters. If you remember on game trailers, there used to be these little things like it'll have like Samus versus, Samus versus Master Chief, and he just would totally, you know, animate it in CG with the video game models. So eventually he got his own show on Rooster Teeth. And, you know, it did really well. Unfortunately, he actually passed away not very long ago. But
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so they still, Rooster Teeth still advertises it, but they obviously haven't continued the show yet. But they decided she's going to be in this game, so which opens the door. How many other characters are we going to see in this game? Remember, Arc System Works, I think Arc System Works, I think, is its own company. But they also do a lot of work with Sega and all that kind of other stuff, right? So who's to say that they might not have a friggin' famous Sega character in there or any other property that they've kind of done stuff with?
You know who you won't see in there? Any who? Capcom characters?
No, you probably won't see any Capcom guys.
Yeah, that's true, man.
But yeah, and the thing about this game is that they're actually doing, like, you know the new Guilty Gear game is obviously 3D characters, but this one is pure 2D, like high resolution sprites. So they're making totally new sprites for this. So they're like, we didn't forget about the past.
See? Yeah, these guys are saying Monty Om.
Oh, that was the guy who created it for Rooster Teeth, yeah, the series.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's him.
Yeah, he died a couple years
ago. He died really kind of like, I think he went in for some operation and just died or something like that. It was very sad.
All right, anybody else Tokyo Game Show shit? Carlos, I know you must have seen some, man.
I saw like the monster stuff. Like that was pretty good. Like Chris said, like I'm surprised they even changed that shit. I played it for the 3DS. Like the only difference with that game was that you can use a little thumbstick with the new 3DS model, and that's like the big thing that they were promoting and stuff. Other than that, what was that game called?
C-Stick.
Yeah, screw that shit, man.
You're so good. Oh.
Yeah, what was that game called again? The one Manny was talking about.
What, the Shinkawa game?
Yeah.
Yeah, I forget the name, but yeah, we know what you're talking about.
Left Alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, that looked pretty cool.
You know why it's confusing? It sounds like Left 4 Dead, you know?
Yeah, I was like, it's like Left something or Alive something, and I'm like, there's so many games that contain those letters that I'm just confused. But anyways, it was just a teaser trailer, but it looked pretty good. Like, the world building looked real. So
they actually did release another more extensive trailer showing some gameplay.
Yo, man, they got guns.
Here and there. Yep, they got guns.
Yeah, see, Adam, your eyes lit up, man.
Damn, I love me some guns.
Yo, but they didn't show the extended trailer where they showed dinosaurs and guns.
Yeah.
No, what the?
Dinosaurs using guns.
Dinosaurs using guns, man.
I had a conversation with somebody today, and he was like, yo, I love this game called Ark. And I was like, yeah, dinos, right? He's like, oh, yeah, don't you like it? I'm like,
you're like, I got to go.
But wait, I want to tell you my experience. I was like, I don't need to know your experience.
Oh, shit.
It got dinos in it.
This man was excited to tell you to share
it. Oh, he was hyped. He was telling me, he was like, yeah, you start off where you get dropped into this world and you don't know what's going on. And then you got these dinosaurs and then you got to go all MacGyver on them and shit. I'm like, nope.
Yeah. Daniel J wants to know, what about Code Vein? What about Code Vein?
Oh, yo, that Dark Souls looking game.
Yep.
Code Vein.
Yeah, I got to look up more about that one for sure.
Yeah, I think I heard it, but isn't Code Vein an old game, or am I confusing with something else?
No, it's not. It's not old.
It's a remake. Is it
a remake?
I'm pretty sure. I remember hearing Code Vein before. I thought this was a remake.
I think I'm confusing it with Code Geass.
Code Geass or Vampire Rain. Or...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. All these names sound the same.
Oh, remember Vampire Rain? That game sucked ass.
Yeah, Vampire Rain was trash.
Man.
That's a game Hip Hop Gamer did not like.
It's the only one.
You know, and actually, he didn't like a Cold Sep Saga either. You know, remember that shit? Honey's Gaming says Demon Gaze.
I just have some questions.
Sorry.
There was a Seven Deadly Sins game. I didn't see that.
Seven Deadly Sins. Yeah, no, was it? No, I don't know. I don't remember the game.
I need to check that out then.
That's fake news.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Brian, did you see anything from out of Tokyo Game Show, man?
Not really. I didn't really catch anything exciting. Nothing really caught my eye. That whole game that you and Manny seems really liking, the Shinkawa game.
Yeah,
I seen it. I'm like,
it's not really anything.
Nothing.
It's not. There's nothing. I never really said that I really liked it. I'm interested, but not really
you like it.
The most amazing game ever.
You like it.
You see the artwork.
No, I mean, here's the thing.
Brian knows. He knows what's up.
Tell the truth, Manny.
No, it's not.
I see through it.
Listen, I'm going to tell you this. Just because I like the art style or designer of a game doesn't exactly mean that I will throw a caution. Unless it's a Metal Gear game made by made by Hideo Kojima. He somehow came back to do it. Yes, I would jump on that shit. But in this sort of situation, obviously, I really like the artwork to this game, and I think it's an interesting idea. But again, there's a good chance I may not like it. But I'm interested.
Well, you'll know if you like it if you buy it.
Well, no, I'm probably going to wait. You know, I'll wait for my spider sense to kick in and say, hey, this is something that you want. But right now, we haven't really seen anything. We just saw a couple of seconds of gameplay. We saw a character that looked like Vulcan from Metal Gear Solid 3. You know, it, at this point in time, and granted, it's the director from Armored Core doing this game. But, you know, bated breath.
Yeah, oh, Brian, wow. Wink, wink, right? We know what's up, man.
You know, man, like, you like it. You seen the artwork, you're like, I like this.
I only saw one. There's only one picture and a couple of design things, and all of a sudden that means I'm going to buy the game? Seriously.
We know you pre-ordered.
You know you got that shit on pre-order.
I'm more excited to play Monster Hunter.
That's a shooter.
By the way, that's two things we never thought you heard anybody say on Throwdown. We're excited for Dragon Ball. We're excited for Monster Hunter. The world doesn't make sense anymore. Anyway, yep. Brian, what else, man?
Well, I mean, not anything that I remember. Nothing, really.
So you know, you know what happened, though, right? Because they didn't announce a new Senran Kagura game, so you were like, exactly. Man, I'm good.
I checked out the Seven Deadly Sins demo. It didn't look... It's a fighting game. Looks like there's going to be a shit ton of characters. I don't know where they're going to get them like all from, but... It kind of looks generic to me.
Isn't Seven Deadly Sins the game made by Akira? Like the guy, you know, the former Capcom guy? I think that's the game. I could be wrong. Because this entire time he was been calling Akira's fighting game. I'm like, that doesn't tell me anything, you know?
I don't know. It doesn't say in the trailer, it doesn't show anything regarding who made it. It doesn't even say the studio.
Damn. Okay, I need to check this out. The Seven Deadly Sins. Again, another generic ass name, man.
Well, no. It's based off the anime.
Oh, okay. I'll let that go. I'm like, isn't that a fucking anime?
Yeah, we covered it in Otanime.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, no. I'm thinking about a different fighting game altogether then. There's a lot of fighting games this year. Shit.
It's hard to like look past like Marvel vs. Capcom's coming out this year. DBZ Fighter. Everybody is hyped for that.
By the way, your boy is an idiot. I played that game for a week, didn't realize you could turn off all the fucking combos, man. When I turn all that shit off, it plays the way it's supposed to play. Now I really like the game. You know what I'm saying? Character designs are still shit, obviously, but it plays like it's supposed to. You know, just turn all that shit off, you'll be good. You know, and I suspect that, you know, during tournaments, they're going to disallow that shit either. You know what I'm saying? But obviously, if you play online, you won't know. You could have an MLG guy with that shit turned on, he'll fuck you up, you know? Anyway, anything else about Tokyo Game Show? Adam, do you see anything that caught your eye?
Nope. I mean, the Monster Hunter, sort of, because I like Monster Hunter. I have it for the 3DS and stuff. But besides that, nothing really.
It was a kind of lackluster show. Let's just be honest, man.
It really was.
Like, I know I saw some dudes that got hype, but I'm like, what are you getting hype for, man? You know?
Yeah, there was really nothing. I mean, last year we had, of course, Persona. That was the big thing, you know? But now that's out.
Yeah. Cool. All right. I think that's pretty much going to do it for our Tokyo Game Show. So, kind of May year, to be honest, but can't win them all, I guess. I think the only Tokyo Game Show that I got me hyped ever was like 2 years ago. We even had Riku on the show for that. It was a crazy ass show. Oh, by the way, I need to say this. You notice how for the first time in that I could recognize, no Vita shit at all. They had Vita games, but you didn't see the actual system on the screen. It was PS4, PS4 Pro, and VR. That's it, you know? That's crazy, man. So
it shows, you know. It's coming to the end.
Pour one out, man. Pour one out.
Yeah. That's it. It's a matter of time.
Let's move on, man. Let's get to some news here. So Mr. Phil Spencer has gotten a promotion.
My boy.
So Spencey.
So he's going to be sitting at the big boys table now with the other Microsoft executives, which means that gaming is going to be having a stronger presence than it already does. Because remember, we've kind of been thinking, like, is Microsoft just going to, like, just merge Xbox with gaming, you know, Windows gaming, and that's it? But with this, it's going to give Phil a little bit more power to move the brand forward. Obviously, now he's in charge of Xbox and Windows gaming and all of that shit.
Yeah, I think there's going to be somebody else. I think that's too much.
What do you mean?
I think there's going to be somebody else to help him. I mean, if he's playing both roles, I mean, this promotion sounds like he's going to be busy doing other meetings and doing other events.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the other question people have brought up, because they haven't talked about any replacement. Who is now the head of Xbox? It seems like Phil Spencer's just doing all of it now. So yeah, you're right. No. That's a little too much. You know?
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
I mean, remember we talked about this like a couple of weeks ago. What if Microsoft is leaning towards becoming just a service?
Yeah. So, but the thing is,
they wouldn't have made new hardware.
Yeah,
they wouldn't have done that. That would have been a waste.
So, do you think Phil Spencer getting hired as he's a executive vice president of Microsoft now? Do you think that's gonna like mean that it won't just be a service? It'll actually still be consoles and shit.
For now,
I don't know. Well, he'll definitely have a say on it now, more than he did before, because it's all merged up. Like, I just hope that he has more say in like studios and like development and stuff like that. I just wish that they have like a singular vision. Like we already like know that Xbox games are going to be on Windows as well. So like, just focus on making games. That's all I care about.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I mean, that's good for him, you know. And then just to prove that the console war only exists with these idiot fanboys, Sony congratulated him. I don't know if Nintendo did, but Sony congratulated him, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, these guys are being dumb. But, yeah, no, it's good for Phil. I don't really have much more to say about that, but that's good for Phil, you know?
Well, I'll say now there's an executive in Microsoft that has a direct connection to fans, because he does engage with fans and Xbox guys. Like and gamers, no one else in Microsoft engages anyone outside of themselves. So
Major Nelson does.
No, but he's not an EVP. Like when you're at that level of executive,
right?
You have more control over stuff. Like Major, but that's his job. Major Nelson is like an ambassador almost, you know. So when you have a guy like Phil, that he can talk to people, so he understands what gamers want, and he can bring that to the big boy table. So it's not just an echo chamber of what, you know, these guys who don't care about gaming, they're all enterprise level and whatever, that's their base. So they don't know what gamers want, right? So they would probably make Xbox a service. So I mean, he might make them change their mind or invest in Xbox a little more or push it in different directions.
I think for at least studio-wise, I could see him playing a big part. And I'm like, hey, we need to invest in studios. But why? This is why.
Yeah, and we talked about Don Matrick last week, and for example, the difference between Phil Spencer and Don Matrick is that at least Phil Spencer has an ear open to the fan base and to the community, which I don't think Don Matrick would have had if he would have joined that same position. So I hope it leads to good stuff for Microsoft and Xbox. I think we need it to, like, you know, to boost up, man.
Yeah, we need competition, man, because if it's just Sony running the roost, you know, you remember the PS2 era, man. You know, can't have that. You know, Manny, what are your thoughts, man? Phil Spencer getting that promotions.
I think it's really cool. It's you know, he's obviously doing a good job, you know, over there. And, you know, obviously the guys at Microsoft, you know, the big guys over there saying, okay, yeah, you're doing a good job. You know, keep this thing. You know, here's the thing. He is the lord of all gaming in Microsoft. This is PC and the Xbox.
That's
division.
Right. That's right.
So obviously this also means that they're kind of going toward that, you know, that thing. You know what I mean?
If he quits, they shut down. Like, yo, we put all our eggs in you, man. Make it happen.
Exactly. So I think it's a cool thing. Here's the thing. I think it is still they're still trying to push that toward of sort of environment where Xbox is the gaming division of Microsoft in general, from all the platforms, everything.
So. Yeah, I can see that for sure, you know. All right, anybody else have any other thoughts on Phil Spencer? It'll be interesting, man. It'll be interesting. Like, and it's effective immediately, too. So we'll see how long it takes for his ideas to actually start.
Is it a new position? Because I don't know the previous.
Yeah, is it like a brand new title? I was curious, the same thing, yeah. If they created this position, or if
he's just an executive vice president of Microsoft, and apparently the way I could be wrong here, but they made it seem like they were just adding him. Like, no one was being taken away. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. So they added
the position. It is a new position.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting, you know, so we'll see. All right, so this next story is pretty interesting. So who was the guy, Adam, was it you talking about this game, Fortnite? Somebody on the show was talking about Fortnite. So anyway, so this game, actually briefly tell us about Fortnite. What kind of game is this?
It's Minecraft updated for adults. You get to build forts, traps, and you have guns, and it's like, oh, you build shit, and then there's raids, and people come and destroy it, and you fight.
So it's now, like Fortnite and Team Fortress. I mean, Minecraft and Team Fortress merged
together. All right, so that's that type of game. So basically, you know, people were playing. Somebody, I think, was recording it, right? And on the bottom, I think, left of it, you could actually see the player names, right? Their gamer tags, right? Gamer names. One person noticed, like, wait, what's up with that gamer name there? Because basically on PlayStation, you can't have underscores at all, right?
Spaces,
you can't have that. So they saw a name with a space. It's like, what the hell is going on? So they checked that name over on Xbox. Sure enough, the guy was playing Fortnite, you know? So for a brief moment, there was actually crossplay between PS4 and Xbox because the developers explained that something got turned on at that point and it allowed that. But then obviously when they found out what was happening, cut that shit right off. But it lets you know how easy this shit would be to implement. Where it happened by accident. Think about that, you know? So
I think part of me thinks it was done on purpose just to see if it can work on their end. It's like, what if we just put it on for a little bit? Let's just see. Let's just a little bit. See what happens. And I think that's, I don't know. Something about it didn't seem right.
So you think there's a conspiracy here, man?
Yeah. I do.
I don't know. Chris, what do you think, man?
Well, it's a happy accident because I think they showed that Sony's full of it, and you can have true crossplay. It's that proves it's not a technology thing. It's not a security thing. That's just an active choice, right, by them to turn it on or off. And even the devs could turn it on by themselves, right?
Yeah,
I don't know if they broke some kind of contract with Sony.
Basically, the way I understand it is, the developers turned it off. Sony didn't come to them and say turn off, but they knew because of Sony's policy on this, they might get in trouble, so they shut it off.
Yeah. Right? See, no, Sony's got to stop being dicks about this, and this can happen. This proved it can happen. So this needs to happen.
You know, all right. Here's the thing, though. I mean, a lot of people don't seem to understand. Like, oh, what's the big deal? So what? Who cares? I'm like, a lot of people do care, especially in an age where we're dealing with all these games like Division and Destiny, where people are like, oh, I'm playing this, I'm playing on Xbox, I'm playing on a PlayStation. I'm like, damn, if only we could play together. You know what I mean? This would be amazing.
Yeah.
This is when it becomes a big deal.
Yeah.
I know some people are like, I don't care. It's not a big deal. It is a big deal.
Here's something interesting. One of the fans asked him about that. He was like, hey, what do you think about this? Actually, matter of fact, I'll read. What do you think of the accidental temporary crossplay of PS4 and Xbox One? Everybody was loving it. Too bad it's fixed. Phil Spencer replied with, I would have liked for them to leave it on. So make of that what you
will. All right.
So,
but he's been saying that for the longest. He's pro. You know, he's pro crossplay. So
well, that's important. Maybe with his new status now, I'd say reach out, make that shit happen, negotiate with Sony.
Yeah, it's Sony right now that's stopping this. But again, I always find it funny that last gen it was the reverse. You know, Sony wanted crossplay and Microsoft was like, nope. So yeah. I guess whoever's at the top gets to decide. And obviously, this generation, that's Sony. You know, but it does kind of stink because I feel I could be wrong about this. Maybe it'll actually ignite it more, but I feel that it could actually create some unity between the two systems. You know what I mean? The player bases, right? If you're actively playing, if you're an Xbox and you're actually playing with a PS4 guy, you're going to actually see him as a human being, not some scumbag, and vice versa, you know? So I think it would be good.
If they really went all out, like, think about it. Like, if we ever get to a point where, oh, in the settings, you can just, like, oh, ask questions. Do you have an Xbox? Do you have a PS4? Do you have a Switch? Or whatever, if that ever happens. But let's say Xbox, PS4. Yeah, all right, what's your login information? So then that way, when you do log in, people can see that profile as well.
You know, that would be amazing. But, you know, it was short-lived, so what can you do, you know?
Yeah, it's, you know, the thing is, you know, there was a point during the PS3 era where Sony was open to doing it, and Microsoft was the one that said, no.
Yeah.
you know. So it's more about who's winning at the time, deciding whether.
Man, you weren't listening 10 seconds ago, were you, when I said that exact same thing?
Exactly.
It could be. I mean, it could be hubris, or it could be one thing that I might give them a little bit of credit for. Microsoft, at least last gen, is that PSN wasn't PSN right now. Like for all intents and purposes, it wasn't a complete service yet. But right now, there's really no excuses for either.
Because remember, it was an attachment. It never launched with it. I always remember that conference when they were like, oh, well, we did our focus groups and we realized our customers don't want the online service.
Yeah.
That's just not something they're into.
Daniel J says Sony probably doesn't want crossplay because they're afraid it might affect sales. Damn right. That's pretty much exactly what it is.
Exactly. You know? That's it right there, man.
You know, the truth, he goes, why, Adam, this is for you. Why is crossplay such a big fucking deal? If I want to play with an Xbox player, then I'll just turn on my Xbox and join a game.
There you go. But that means you have to double dip. You have to buy that game also.
Yeah,
so if you had it on the PS4, then you would have to go and get it on. And it's not like the PlayStation where you have the share play. Somebody can just jump in your shit and just you can play and have the experience. So
it's not only that, but it's creating more community, you know? It's like the Overwatch community. We don't want the Overwatch community to be separated or segregated into two different groups. It's like, why?
I'm fucking around. I'm fucking around. I don't give a shit about Overwatch. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, it's like, put them together, man. Let them play the same game together. Like, it's the exact same game. It plays exactly the same on both systems.
That homogeny could also lead to other things. See how Rocket League is going to do a crossplay between the Switch and Xbox, right? Like, they could play together? That homogeny could also... Whoa.
Oh, what? You cut out?
Oh, that was weird. I was saying, like Rocket League works cross-play between the Switch and Xbox, right? So you could have that potentially lead to other things being shared between different publishers, right? Imagine Nintendo put Mario Rabbids on Xbox.
Oh, shit. Right?
And because it had cross-play... And imagine that happening. Then that starts to happen more and more. So who misses out? Sony misses out. If you start seeing, like, not full Nintendo games, but Nintendo-like games that have characters in it, like Mario Rabbids on Xbox, that would be huge. For them, Sony misses out because they're like, we don't want crossplay. Fine, then you don't get that game.
Yeah, kind of fucked up. But it shows you just how easy this shit would be to implement. Also, I want to welcome Brett an hour late. What's going on, brother?
Brett?
See, I think Brett's spider sense was tingling because he knows we're about to talk about Nintendo soon, man.
Oh yeah. No, that's exactly what it was. No, I had a Lodge meeting run late tonight.
Ah, yes. Trying to control the world, right? You Freemason guys.
Yeah. I'm part of the Illuminati.
Who keeps my butt under wraps?
Exactly. Actually, check it out. I got pretty cool, but completely unrelated to the gaming podcast. I got my my grandfather's Mason ring bestowed upon me tonight.
That's awesome, dude.
Been in our family for 50 years.
Yo, Brett, the last time you weren't on the show because of the Mason thing, I told the guys that on the air. Like, Tony, are you supposed to say that? It's like, it's not a secret society, guys. Come on.
Yeah, they're not the Illuminati. Jesus Christ.
I mean, it is a secret society. I'm allowed to talk about the fact that, yes, I am a Mason. I'm just not allowed to talk about much beyond that.
Yeah.
You are not allowed to talk about the goings on of the Freemasons.
These guys were acting like I blew up your spot. It's like, no, Brett has admitted it. It's just he can't talk about the inner workings of it, you know, sacrificing virgins and all that shit.
Yeah. I mean, the goat head and the robes and the sacrifice for the virgin, all that is completely under wraps.
Yeah. All right, man. Actually, Brett, let's get your thoughts on this real quick. What do you think about the fact that for a brief moment, PS4 and Xbox One players were able to play together on Fortnite before they cut the shit off?
Why did they cut it off is my big question.
Well, because of Sony's policy regarding crossplay. That's why.
I think that Sony, your dick is showing.
Keep it real. Man, that's some fighting words right there.
I mean, yeah, that's some fighting practices right there. It's one of those things when it's been clearly demonstrated to be available, but you are just going to not do it. You know, we talk about what is consumerism or what is anti-consumerist a lot on this show, and I would qualify that as being anti-consumerist. There's no good reason why this can't be done. Sony hasn't really invested money into this project. This isn't their project to control, but they're pulling on the market and influencing their leverage in an effort to control it and get more money from their bottom dollar. Because at the end of the day, they want you buying this on playing this on PlayStation with your friends, not on Xbox. And if, even if it's just a small win, they're going to funnel you into doing that. But I guess where I draw the line is they didn't earn it. It's fine when you're supporting a game or when you're help developing a game, or even if you lend assets to the game, but that's none of what we're seeing here. What we're seeing here is Sony putting in a blanket policy that is in fact hurting gamers and only serves to help further their bottom line. So, tisk tisk to you on Sony, to Sony on that one. That's just kind of, that's bad sportsmanship if you ask me, and shouldn't be a fucking thing. Now, I understand no cross platform play between PC and consoles.
Even though that does happen, Sony allows that with PC all day, every day.
And see, that's the weird thing, because, you know, and I'm not going to get on my little hacking and cheating tirade here, but those are two very different things. You're cross-playing something on a closed system architecture with something on a open system architecture, which is apples and oranges, whereas the consoles essentially is comparing apples to apples. So the fact that they go out of their way to stop Microsoft from doing this when they let it happen on PC shows that they're just doing it to be vindictive, which kind of doubles down on your dick is showing. So I can't defend them, and I honestly wouldn't want to, but even from a devil's advocate position, like, there's not really a good reason for this other than you're not wanting to play ball with your competition, apparently out of spite, even though it would help with a lot of your games.
Just to jump on that, I wonder how much of it is spite, because, again, remember, last gen was the opposite. Right? Sony wanted crossplay. Microsoft said, fuck you. So I'm wondering, are they trying to get back at Microsoft? You know,
even if they are. So what, a best case scenario, it's petty and childish.
Yeah.
I mean, and if that's best case scenario, then how are you not supposed to throw rocks at that point? That's one of those, like, you look at the Pitchfork and Torch salesman, you'd be like, you're about to get a shitload of business, my friend, because I can't argue this mob down. I can't. And honestly, I'm not obligated to, nor should I in any way. Sony deserves every bit of crap that they give for this. And honestly, the more the better. It's kind of bullshit when the systems are this close, you've run out of excuses other than we just don't feel like doing it. And we just don't feel like doing it is how Sony lost their throne in the first place. So if this behavior is indicative of future behavior, prepare for another, console shift this next generation, because Sony wants to be a dick about it. I'll just go to Xbox. Microsoft has been trying real hard to win my business lately. I'm kind of locked into the PlayStation ecosystem at this point, and I'm not really wanting to invest a whole lot again. But yeah, man, when the generation rolls over and my money comes up and I'm looking at what system to buy, it's going to be based on what company is treating me better and what company is trying harder for my money. And if Sony continues to act complacent, lazy, and greedy, then that's going to be Microsoft this time around. And maybe I'll just be one of those console gamers that flip-flops every generation, and then every generation I have people tell me I'm a fanboy for that current generation. You know, I was an Xbox fanboy, and then I was a 360 fanboy, and then I was a PS3 fanboy, and now I'm a PS4 fanboy, and then I'll go back to being an Xbox fanboy and whatever. But it's at the end of the day, you tell companies how to treat you, and this is just, I'm sorry, this is just a big fuck you to gamers, man. I can't, somebody please tell me how this is not, because I'd love to see it not that way, but I can't read it any other way than fuck you to give us your money.
Yeah.
And why would we go out of our way?
This happened. No, they didn't have to go out of the way to make it happen. It was an accident, which shows you just how fucking easy it is to actually make this happen. It's not like, oh, we have to devote so many sources to make this happen. No, it happened by accident, which means you could easily do it. But, you know, Sony's free to do what they're going to do. But, you know, the fans, if you want it, just let them know, you know. Again, even Phil Spencer was like, yeah, I wish they had left it on, you know.
And Brett didn't even hear my logic, which was, like that would help with getting more stuff like crossplay. And I said, imagine, okay, so Nintendo and Xbox get Rocket League, right? They get Rocket League crossplay. So imagine that with something like Mario Rabbids, right? It's like the gateway game. And then because they're playing nice together, then Microsoft could get other like crossplay. Nintendo, imagine Nintendo said, okay, we're going to give you Splatoon and make it crossplay. So imagine something like that.
That'd be crazy.
And it leads further and further. Then who's left out? Sony's left out.
That would be let's take it into the real world for a second. Everybody knows that I like to talk about the current game that I'm playing far too much. So let's bring up Absolver for a minute.
Okay.
This game recently came out with a patch that essentially broke the fluidity and the mechanics of the game, which is a damn shame. But it's not honestly out of people. You know, this is a company made from people who left Ubisoft, so it's not out of their track record. The problem is, this is essentially a double A game that has sold gangbusters, but it is not doing well because with each patch, it seems to degrade a little bit. They probably should have done a bigger beta test on it, and I'm not giving them a pass on this. But here's where the problem comes into the real world. If this game has a rocky start and not that long of a game time, you know, 8 to 10 hours single player, hundreds of hours if you want to do PvP, but quite frankly, PvP is busted right now. So a lot of the content of the game is either inaccessible or not working correctly. That leaves a very poor first impression of this game, which will sink or swim based on its community. This community, unfortunately, is having a bit of an exodus right now. I'm very much hoping that this will change and that people will come back once the game is rebalanced. But let's be honest, that never happens as much as we want it to. So the success of this game could live and die by it being released on Xbox, which it most likely will be because of the high reception and sales that it's gotten. So we could very well end up seeing a game that I already count as one of my favorite games, even in its broken state, end up with a very healthy Microsoft community with a very poor Sony community, because these people have already sat through a buggy, horrible launch, and a lot of people don't want to give that a second chance. So if they did have crossplay with Xbox, that would revitalize the community and keep the game alive substantially longer. But without crossplay, they're looking down the barrel of either a huge discrepancy in their audience between the ones that fought through all the bugs and now have come out the other side of that very difficult learning curve far ahead of the other players, or they're just not going to have many new players and the whole thing's going to turn into a ghost town. And with each player that leaves, the game gets less appealing. So you can see how this is inevitably going to spiral out of control and snowball into something that could actually kill the game. Whereas if cross-platform play were enabled, this kind of thing wouldn't come up. And I realize that this is just a small example in a mountain of examples. But if we're wanting to at least take something theoretical and put it right into the real world, I'm seeing the consequences of this inaction. I'm seeing what I consider to be a good game that is most likely going to dry up because of its lack of community and never get repeated. Nobody will make a sequel. Nobody will make another game. This whole fundamental thing will get dumped down and we'll get another Horizon Zero Dawn. And for those of you that love that game, I get it. I get it. But you have to admit, it is the equivalent of the most homogenized product of a game. It is the McDonald's cheeseburger of games. You may love McDonald's. Some people do. I'm not talking shit on it. But it is the logical conclusion towards everything that gaming has been building towards. And I don't want to see gaming become a series of clones. I miss the days when games each had their own unique character. And this kind of thing, especially in multiplayer games, really hurting that. I mean, Chris, how much more life do you think? I mean, I'm not saying Dark Souls has a bad life, but how much more life and activity would Dark Souls have if it were crossplay? I mean, it would be infinitely easier to find co-op and to PvP, which is really what keeps the community around and keeps selling the game in the franchise.
Yeah, no, that would be huge if it had crossplay. Like, that would if you merged the Xbox, potential Xbox and PS community, you're talking like you have a base of 100 million, right? Potential. not actual, but potential. So that would be enormous. And for Sony to sit on that and go, well, you guys didn't play nice last generation, it's stupid. It's childish. Yep.
All right, let's move on. By the way, Brett, I'm glad you showed up because this show is almost ready to be done. You know how you talk, brother.
Yeah, I can extend that shit a little bit.
Yeah. Actually, quickly, since you're here, did you see anything that caught your eye from Tokyo Game Show?
I have not had a chance to check up on it. Was there anything interesting that came out of it?
A couple of things. The one you might – actually, you'll probably really like this. Virtual On. They're making a new game, man.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I know, yep. Right? Ain't that something?
Really?
Awesome. Yeah, dude. A brand new game. Not a remaster or anything. A brand new game. So I'm pretty excited about that. All right. Let's talk about it. This is pretty fun. I wrote about this a couple of days ago, right? So the Switch actually has – there we go, my man. The Switch actually has a tribute – to Mr. Iwata in it. This is a really cool story, so let me break it down. So basically, just like any computer system, the Switch was hacked, right? And the you know, the hackers, they found this like code in there, and basically it's a code for an emulated version of golf, right? The original NES golf, right? And they found out you could only unlock it on July 11th, and you need to do specific hand movements with the Joy-Cons in order to unlock it. And they were like, why is this happening? Nothing's been confirmed yet, but it seems like, okay, because July 11th is day Mr. Iwata passed away in 2015, and the hand gesture, as you see it on screen, you have to, you know, is his signature hand gesture, as Manny's doing right now, from the Nintendo Direct. So basically what's going on is Nintendo is paying tribute to Iwata by having golf in there, which is a game that he created. So every Switch in the market has code. Yeah, who programmed the game? Every Switch on the market has code written by Iwata. That is fucking amazing. You know, that is how you do a tribute. You know, and Nintendo even did it so you can't rejigger like your settings, so you could like falsify that it's July 11th. As soon as you go online, the system has like Adam said, it was like a backup, calendar in there, right? And you can't do it. So it's pretty cool. Every July 11th, I'm going to try this next year. It'll be cool. You know, it sucks that this July 11th passed and nobody knew about this shit.
Nobody figured it out.
Apparently somebody on the actual July 11th on like a hacker forum, they're like, hey guys, this game just turned on my Switch. What the fuck's going on? He's like, when I try to play it again, it wouldn't work. So people just dismissed it. But what happened is July 11th passed and he couldn't access the game anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, pretty cool. So Manny, we'll start with you, man. What did you think about this little tribute to Mr. Iwata?
It was just hackers that found this thing. Yep. So if you were going to, if you accidentally did that move on that specific day with both of them, you would instantly activate this game. That's amazing. Like, you know, just to put like something like that. I mean, this is also not the only tribute that Iwata has gotten. He's also in The Legend of Zelda, and there's a tribute to him in there. There's a character that looks a lot like him, and then it leads to a specific spiritual animal that you can get in the game that only appears at certain amounts of time. So it's so cool that they decided to do that. I mean, obviously, they had a lot of respect for this man, and I think a lot of the gaming industry had a lot of respect for him. I mean, how many people do you know that led a company, that a video game company, that actually was programming games? And this guy was programming games even all the way to like the Super Smash Brothers. Like, to get Super Smash Brothers out on time, he just pulled up his sleeves and just said, all right, I'm gonna do some of this shit, you know?
Yeah, he's definitely a rare breed. He was both executive and programmer and developer and all that. Yeah. You know,
I mean the thing is that it also gives you, you know, you don't hear about too many folks kind of going, you know, at least in recent years, you don't hear about too many folks coming up through the ranks of a company and then eventually making it there. Usually, you know, it's a lot of guys that are just failing upward. They just, you know, they fucked
up. Well, we got Phil Spencer.
They got people that fucked up at one company. You know,
pulling it.
You know, so it is so cool to see that they put that in there. But I'm guessing they were just going to leave it alone and just – you just hear rumors of it, you know, just basically. Like that thing.
Yeah. Well, I think it would have said something.
Now, it might have been the system engineers or whatever that put that in for him and pitched it, and then they decided against it, right? Mm-hmm. But they left it in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty cool.
I just think it's cool that.
Yeah. Go ahead, Brett.
Okay, I just think it's cool that they put something in there very subtly without making a big deal out of it. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of cool because they did something not quite as hidden, but with, you know, the Pro Controller, like the thanks to all gamers, like that wasn't loud and it wasn't obvious. Like you really had to look for that. And it's weird for Nintendo to be putting these little attention to detail things and these almost little fan servicey things that for the most part nobody's probably going to find out about, which is, I can't wrap my brain around a company that's like, you know what, we'll do this thing, but we don't really have to make it a big deal out of it or show it. Like, I swear to God, if this were on PlayStation, it would be a trophy that you have to unlock to get the platinum.
And I would get get that trophy. By the way, for you guys just joining us on Twitch for the first time, say hello to the Throwdown Crickets, man.
Yes. They are opinionated.
Yes, very loud crickets, man. They got a lot of shit to say, you know, just like us. So, Chris, what do you think about all this?
Well, I think it was a nice gesture. I mean, I only think they didn't announce it because somebody at the top didn't feel it was appropriate or something, and the engineers already did it. Right, they put it in there, packaged it, pitched it, and they said no. I think it's nice. I think the man deserves a lot of respect. Like, I feel honored. I actually spoke with him like years ago. He gave a meeting in New York. He talked to us about a lot of stuff, and we got to speak to him. And it, I mean, his English is not that great, but you know, he's very polite, very nice. So I remember that. I'll always remember that. You know, I got to talk to this man.
Pretty awesome, man. So good on you, Nintendo. But you're right about that. I didn't think about this. Like, maybe the engineers just snuck that in there without corporate even knowing about it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And they left it in there.
Yeah, they
left it. Or it's also like a hidden alarm. They're like, we know they hacked us. They got to the core.
They found the secret golf game.
Exactly. It's done. Sound the alarm.
Yeah, good stuff, man. Anybody else want to jump in on that? Mr. Iwata. All right, I guess not. So we'll go on to the next thing. This is going to be cool. Yesterday, your boy Tony, I got to go to a Bethesda event, right? I got to check out a bunch of their games, right? But the ones I was interested in the most, or the one I was interested in the most, was Doom on Switch. Because we've been talking about that. You know, I've had a lot of conversations online. Guys were insisting, Tony, it's going to run at 60 frames a second, man. It's going to run at 60 frames. I'm like, no.
Can I just say that I called that it wasn't, as I guess the resident Nintendo fanboy?
All right, and I'm glad you did, Brett, because I'm going to be honest with you, just being open on air, you didn't say it, but I assumed you thought that just because of how ardent of a Nintendo guy you are now.
Oh, no, I swear I thought, I swore I said that it was going to run at 30 frames a second. Like, that's just the fact that they're getting it on there, like, I'm happy about, but like, no, it's not going to run at 60 frames a second.
Yeah.
60 frames a second on the PS4. I know that. The Switch is not the PS4. You're getting a 30 frame per second experience, but you're still getting a fully fledged game at 30 frames per second, which is what we play most of our games at. So, at the end of the day, I'm pretty still pleased.
Yeah, we'll get to that because obviously, you know, Destiny's running 30 frames. So, anyway, so I played the game at 30, and it was a little weird at first because, again, I'm used to playing it either at 60 frames on the PS4 or higher on the PC, right? So it took a little bit of adjusting. I played through the first level and stuff, but after like a minute or two, you know, I just got used to it. I was playing, it wasn't handheld, but it was like on a pedestal or whatever. I don't know what mode you call that, but I was playing it like that with a Pro Controller. So controller-wise, there was no difference there. Pro Controllers, and I think, correct me if I'm wrong, this is like the first-person shooter on Switch. Correct me if I'm wrong, you know? But I liked it for the most part. I mean, yeah, it did, you know, aiming and shit was a little weird because it's not as smooth, but it looks nice, even though they didn't answer this for me on the show, but I learned later that basically the game has a dynamic resolution. Sometimes it goes in between 540 and 720, right? Depending on what's going on. And, you know, obviously there's lesser textures and stuff, but when you're looking at it on that little small screen, you don't really notice it too much, you know? Like, I would think if you're, you know, let's just be honest. You're not going to buy this just because you want to play it on TV. You want to play because it's on the go. So I think it's a viable choice.
Listen, it wasn't so much of how it looks. It's just a Joy-Con.
And this is maybe my failing. You know, I didn't play with a Joy-Con. I played with the Pro Controller, right? I don't know. I don't know how it would work with the Joy-Cons. But, you know, if you want Doom, if you need to have Doom on the road, you have an option. Now, obviously, I would still tell you, play that shit on a console, play it on PC, but it works, and that's saying a lot. That's better than it not existing at all. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And obviously, you know, the full game comes into cartridge, but you got to download the multiplayer, but all the multiplayer like maps and shit are included, so you're not getting left out. I think Snap Maps or whatever the fuck they're called, they're not included, but arcades in there, all of that. But yeah, again, I was blown the fuck away that Switch could even run this shit, you know? So that was crazy. Obviously,
can I ask?
Yeah, go ahead.
Who's hating?
Yeah, go ahead.
Who's hating?
Nobody's hating.
Yeah, no one's hating.
I don't know. I don't know who's hating. I got some hate on Twitter, but the thing is, I wasn't talking about Doom. Like, how many times have I said on this show that Nintendo needs third-party support? Yeah. Don't you think I would be happy that, like, oh, shit, look at what they got. Like, that's great. But some guy was giving me grief. Like, oh, GTA 5 is going to end up on the Switch. And I was like, no. I said, that was what I was arguing about. I said, no, it's not. There's, like, a whole lot more hurdles to get over, including size of the
online
game.
Yeah, and the online aspect. Online. That's what makes it. People aren't playing the standalone. They're playing that online. That's what's keeping it floating and making that money.
So then it started to devolve into full retard where they started saying, oh, I guess you're angry about Doom on the Switch. Like, no, idiot. I'm telling you that GTA 5 probably is not going to happen. Doom is a reality, and that's great that they're getting it. That's great that they're going to get the new Wolfenstein. It's great that they're getting third-party support. This is something I've said they needed for a long time. So why would I get mad when they finally got it? You know, that's stupid.
Now, you know how fanboys are, though. But, yeah, I did have to, like, fight with some guys. So they were like, oh, no, it's going to be 60. It's going to be 60. Why are you hating? I'm like, bro, are you fucking stupid? It can't run at 60. He's like, oh, but Mario Kart runs at 60. I'm like,
oh, God, again with the racing. Yeah. You joined the support group with fucking, what's his name? Other Zinc.
I swear to God, I think I'm the only person on the planet that understands the terminology hybrid console. Like, people just hear out of that what I think they want to hear. They're like, oh, well, it's a handheld. Or no, it's both. It is both. It is a cumbersome handheld, and it is a low-powered console. It is not particularly amazing at either one exclusively. It just does both. That is the begin, the middle, and the end of the concept. Full stop. How is this hard for people to get their brains around? Like, some people are like, oh, well, I consider it a console, so it should be able to run all console games the same as the other consoles. No, no, it doesn't. That was never the thing, and it was never going to be a thing. And like, oh, well, it's, you know, it's bigger and more cumbersome than my 3DS. Well, yeah, it was always going to be. Like, it's, how hard is it to establish what a product is trying to do and then have realistic expectations for what that product does? Am I just insane here?
I don't know, but Brett, to be fair though, when you talk about the Switch, you mostly talk about it as a hand. Just be honest now.
Most of the time, I'm talking about it as a portable console. Like, I think I'm the weird one. Like, the way that you played Doom is the way that I play my Switch when I'm out and about. I don't generally play it on a bus, or like, I imagine I'd play it on a road trip, but like commuting, even if I were in a subway, I don't know if I'd pull out a Switch game. But it's nice to have and like set up at my desk. So it's, I don't even necessarily consider it a full handheld because I don't use it as a handheld a lot of times. I use it as a portable console, something that has the TV built into it. I could just sit on a desk, pop in my little controllers and play in a relaxed fashion where I'm not having to hold the whole thing up. So maybe that's where my unique perspective comes into it. Cause honestly, for me, it's neither. I don't use it as a handheld. I use it docked sometimes. I use it handheld sometimes, but I'd say probably most of the time I use it docked, and then 60% of the time, and then 30% of the time I use it, you know, on the go while I'm out at the tattoo shop or something like that. And I'd say about, you know, 10% of the time I play it in handheld mode. The handheld mode is still definitely the least amount of time that I play it, but that's not where its portability ends.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. But yeah, because I would never play it like that. It's like, if I'm going to play with the Pro Controller, with the thing out there, why not just play it on my television, right? So I would never do that. But I could see, like, if you're at somebody's house or something, why you may want to do that, or a doctor's office or whatever, you know? Bring your fucking Pro Controller with you, you know?
There's also the idea, like, keep in mind that the more permeated this ecosystem becomes, the better it's going to be. So, for instance, I have a Switch. My friend Erica has a Switch. she is staying over because she has to get up at 5 a.m. for the next couple weeks for this new job training that she's going through. Usually she works third shift, so she'll come over and she's hanging out. So I'll pick up my Switch, undock it, throw it in my bag, take it up to work, and I can dock it because there's a dock up at work, and she can bring her own Legend of Zelda game over, play it wherever she wants, dock it in my console, play it on my TV. It's this idea that you can bring your console and your save data and all that stuff around with you. And yeah, I can do that technically with the PlayStation, or I can download all my games digitally and then download them onto other PlayStations. But then you still have to have a PlayStation up at work, a PlayStation in this room, a PlayStation over here. Whereas I think and I'm starting to see people with multiple docks, you know, so that they can move from room A to room B. And these are all things that kind of fall in the cracks. Like, you don't give a shit necessarily that you can bring your DS from the living room to the bedroom. I mean, it's pretty cool. But another layer on top of that is if you have a dock in your living room and your bedroom, suddenly it's like having two Switches, or it acts the same as having two PlayStations. This is coming from somebody who had two PlayStations. So being able to move something from one room to another, or from one place to another, I think is something that shouldn't be left out of the conversation.
Yeah, remember Malik, he explained last week how he actually has four Switch docks around the house just for whoever may need it, you know, which mm-hmm. is pretty interesting. So anyway, so yeah, Doom was really cool. I enjoyed that a lot. And then I only played it for a little bit. I played about 5 minutes of Skyrim, right? That one was the least impressive because, again, it's just an old game. I'm like, man, it looks the way it does on PS3, basically. There wasn't as many, like, effects. Like, there was no shimmering shit or, like, fog stuff. It was very simplified. But the game never looked that good anyway, so it wasn't, like, a big deal. But it was still cool to, you know, walk around and see all the mountains and forests and shit. I even went to this one town. Again, remember, I've never played Skyrim. It was called Riverwood. As soon as I get in there, I start talking to this elf, and he's like, yo, my bitch is cheating on me. Like, give this letter to her, to the man she's fucking. And then I find the man she's fucking, like, yo, give her this letter, you know, and say that elf is cheating on her. I'm like, what? Yo, I'm not trying to get into the middle of this shit, guys. I'm trying to just play this game right now, you know? And then as I did, I'm like, oh, I'm doing typical Skyrim shit on Switch. That's pretty cool, you know? And it worked, because I feel Bethesda games don't work very well in third person because the character just looks like they're floating above the ground. But it looked good on Switch, you know, walking around and stuff. So, yeah, this is the shit we've been wanting from Nintendo. Third-party games, and not bullshit third-party games, real third-party games. So, I mean, granted, it's still going to be bottlenecked by the shitty, you know, architecture of the Switch. But it's still Doom, and it's still Skyrim, and I hate to sound like a fanboy, but you can't deny that shit. It's there in your face, you know? I had my Chris, our boy Eric, he was giving me shit about it. He was like, oh, you're a fucking flip-flopper now. You was talking all that shit. I'm like, because I have new evidence, motherfucker.
You know, you can change your opinion or see something that you like or you don't like. That's called being a thinking human being.
Yeah, I know. I mean, Eric's my boy, but he always gives me shit about that. He's like, oh, look, your opinion on PC gaming has changed, hasn't it? I'm like, yeah, because I actually have a fucking gaming PC now, bro. Like, am I honestly going to have a new gaming PC and still have the same dumbass mentality that I had before? That makes right. No sense. It's like, are humans not allowed to evolve? I thought that was the whole reason we exist.
Yeah. Actually, not doing that, not changing your opinion when presented with contradicting or contradictory facts is literally what makes people fanboys.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly.
And yeah. I guess I proved that I'm not a fanboy. I'm blown away by this shit. I'm playing Doom on Switch, and it feels basically the same. I even played the old Doom level in there just because, you know, it was crazy. Yeah,
we're all, you know, it's okay to be wrong, and it is okay to say opinionated things and eat them later. And this has nothing to do with the fact that I just bought Destiny 2 and I'm actually enjoying it.
Son of a bitch.
Oh, man. By the way, everyone gets to evolve, man. Even people like Brett. He's calling the Switch a console now.
Yeah, that's right. also, since I have you here, and I realize I actually can't talk about it, I played Chris's the sequel to Chris's favorite game, Evil Within. This was way better than, okay, the first game, Chris, you can attest to this, controls were all fucked up and janky, right?
Oh, yeah.
Not this one. And the developer purposely told me, he's like, yeah, we kind of gave it more Western-y controls. And it's true. You know, it felt like a Western survival horror game, you know, like with the controls, of, like shooting is the way you would expect. Reloading is what you would expect. You know, that was good. I had a lot of fun. Yo, these guys are crazy. The demo starts with a boss battle. I kept getting fucked up. But I meant she made it through, you know, and then I went through the game and then I got to the final boss and I got through that. And then you know what happened after that, right? Developer's like, oh, shit, you're the only one out of your group that beat the demo. I'm like,
oh, man,
it's crazy. Like, I know earlier Hip Hop Gamer, he beat it, you know, but Hip Hop Gamer, you know, even though he plays games on EC, he still knows how to play games.
He still knows how to play games, you know.
He likes that God mode, though.
Yeah. Also, let me I think I could talk about this. I have the game here. I have footage right here. I just need to get it out of this.
Yeah, you know, I told you what you need for that.
Yeah, the SATA thing. Yeah.
You just need a SATA cable. Yeah.
I have an hour of me playing Wolfenstein, which I can't talk about at the moment, and about 45 minutes of Evil Within, right? The developer told me something like, yo, man, you're really good at Wolfenstein. I'm like, I played the first one, bro.
You know, again, they don't. Most journalists are not full on gamers, so they probably suck.
Yeah, so. I'll tell you about Wolfenstein.
Oh my god! It's not like you learn the behavior over time. Like, I actually had a moment today where I put Destiny in a friend's hands, and she's like, "So how do you play this?" And I, without even thinking, I went like a shooter. Like to me, that's the end. Like, you put a controller in my hand, you're like, shooter controls. I'm like, okay, going. This button's the grenade, right? Yes,
it is. That's what you need. Let's just be honest.
There's so many, you know, archetypes of controls that we've, you know, played through the years. I mean, you kind of already know X is always the jump button, or, you know, what is it, B on the Xbox?
Yeah.
Your circle's always going to crouch.
Your circle's crouch. Yeah. X or triangle is, you know, reload. L, was it L2? L2 is aim, or right L trigger aim. Shoot is the R trigger, R2. It's all the same shit, you know?
Square is aim on the right.
Yes, square is reload. There are some weirdo games like fucking Grand Theft Auto where jumping is on triangle and shit, you know?
And running is X.
Yeah. So Rockstar is their kind of thing. But even then, the shooting is the same as in every other game, you know? Reloading triggers. Is weird, though.
You know, it's like, I'm surprised you'd say, wow, you're the first guy not to throw a grenade at your feet.
Yeah, right?
the ultimate noob mistake. It's like every Halo game. Yeah.
I didn't throw a grenade at my feet by accident, but I did throw a grenade by accident, but it was a happy accident because I ended up killing an enemy anyway. I'm like, okay, good. Because I was, you know, I'm pressing the buttons to see what everything does. I'm like, oh, okay, that's the grenade. Oh, he's dead now. I think I could say this about Wolfenstein. It's very fun to kill Nazis. Hey, listen,
spoiler!
Nazis are like a video game staple, like fucking zombies, you know?
Yeah, it's like, what's the evilest thing that nobody would care about killing? Nazis?
Yeah, exactly. I'll tell you guys more about it on Thursday.
Or inhuman aliens?
Pretty much. Or zombies.
Oh, yeah. Or zombies. Or demons, right?
Doom. Doom,
nobody cares about demons.
But again, I'm blown away by what the Switch can do, man. So I'm wondering, I'm with fucking Adam 100% of this. I guarantee you, in a year or two, they're gonna do a fucking revised Switch with beefier hardware. I guarantee.
I don't even say it here. I think by 2018.
Damn, son.
Just because of the shortage that they're having with parts and the whole thing with the screen and with the Joy-Con lawsuit and stuff. I mean, everything is pointing that they need to do like an upgraded version.
And it's not out of the realm of possibility. Look how quickly it threw out that new 3DS. Look how many visions of the 2DS you had, or regular DS, you know? Right. It's, come on, man. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. If that the X2... Actually, Chris, let me ask you that. If they had the X2 Tegra chip in there, how much better would it be? Like, how much more exponentially better would it be, like, power-wise?
You probably see, like... I'd say you'd see better than 200% improvement. Damn. And stuff. So what they should do is definitely go to the next stepping of Tegra and make sure you cool it right. Go to OLED because JPL is probably dead and Apple killed it. So if they're moving to OLED, that's a good sign that you should probably do.
Yeah, you know.
Or work with someone in Korea. I don't know. But just fucking do it and uh, put put more RAM in there. Like, even if you put like 6 gigs in there, like, you know, make it happen. And more storage. For fuck's sake, put a bigger drive in that thing.
I know, it's pissing them off that, you know, soon you're going to see games like what happened with 2K18 with that symbol. It's like, oh, your memory card required. So it's like, shit, if you start filling those up, next you know, it's you're going to have not only a bunch of games to play, you're going to be carrying around a bunch of memory cards.
Up the storage and throw everyone a bone and kick in at least a 32 gig SD card.
Yeah.
If not bigger. Kick it in for that price, you know.
Yeah, anyway, but even, you have the NBA game that's required, like Adam said. And then, of course, with Doom, if you want to play multiplayer, you got to download that shit, you know? What if you ran out of space, you know? Like, what is it? It's 25 gigs. I know it's a 32 gig internal, but it's really 25 gigs free, you know? It's bullshit, man. But anyway, yeah, so very impressed by that. I think it's coming out this year, both of them, actually, Skyrim's and Doom, so... Check it out. As a matter of fact, you know what? I'm going to get on Tony's soapbox right now.
Uh-oh.
Nintendo gamers, if you want to see more third-party games on the Switch, buy them. Don't just say, oh, that's cool that we have Doom. Buy fucking Doom. Buy Skyrim. You want more games like that, man.
Right. Yeah. I did say that before. If you don't support this now, you can't be talking shit like, oh, we're going to get GTA. You think Rockstar's going to spit on you if you don't buy... What Bethesda's throwing at you?
Yeah, look, let me tell you this. The producer of Final Fantasy 15, he's like, I want to get this game on Switch. It's just a matter of working it out. So there's interest from developers, right? You guys just need to buy these games.
Right, It's not up to the dev. And at the end of the day, the money guys decide that.
Yep.
I made a bet with Brett, like, for $20 if the Skyrim shows up in the NPDs, the top 10 NPDs or not. I want to give Brett my $20.
Yes. Ooh, that's actually a good way of kind of closing it out. Okay, Carlos, do you have the list here? What is your kind of projected NPD for November? Because you showed it to me, and I kind of agree.
Okay, so... So for sure, one of them is going to be Mario. Mario is going to be in November NPDs. It comes out... October, I think.
October 27th is crazy. Wolfenstein, Mario Odyssey, and Assassin's Creed come out the same day.
Oh my god. Wow. So Mario's definitely going to be one of them. Call of Duty World War II is going to be one of them. So here's another thing people don't remember. Pokemon Ultra Sun and Moon comes out in November. Yo, man, those things, I don't care if they're freaking... just fucking definitive editions of the last year's shits, they're still going to sell. So I put both of those things in the NPDs.
Also, Battlefront. Keep in mind, just in case you people think Carlos is crazy, the two Pokemon games were on NPDs November last year. Keep that in mind, you know?
Yep. Battlefront 2.
Mm-hmm.
Battlefront 2 is going to be crazy. Zelda is going to make it back, man. Those.
I agree.
Those holiday sales, those Black Friday sales, they're definitely going to sell Zelda a lot again, especially with increased amount of Switches. Hopefully Nintendo gets their act together and gets more production on those in the shelves, man, so we can sell those Switches. The three obligatory sports games, Madden, FIFA, NBA 2K, those normally are on November NPDs anyways. And drum roll, please, for the last one. Brian, help me with this.
All right. Oh, yep. Brian, are you ready, man? I know what he's going to say next.
Saran Kagra?
GTA 5. Of course, it's going to be in it.
Of course. A couple things to note. The re-release of Elder Scrolls Skyrim was on NPD, and GTA 5 was not on it.
Oh, shit.
But I do agree with you. You said Call of Duty is going to be on yours too, right? That's going
to
be there.
Has to be there.
Yeah. So I'm gonna co-sign Carlos's NPD prediction, man.
A wild card is Assassin's Creed. I don't have that, so man, it's tough.
I could see that happening. Assassin's Creed games always do well, you know. I could see that being on there.
And there wasn't one last year. You know what?
Well, last year didn't come out. They didn't come out with the Assassin's Creed last year.
Right. So people are wanting that game.
Yeah. I don't know.
And they're hungry.
And remember, the
Assassin's
Creed game was very well received. You're only as good as your last game. People are hyped, you know?
It was well received, but they didn't make a profit. They said they actually lost money.
Yeah, you know why? Because the game before that was fucking bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's going to happen, you know? So I agree. So Brett, do you disagree with that list that Carlos put up?
No, I think that's pretty accurate.
What about Skyrim though? Because you were pretty adamant that it's going to be on there.
I think it's gonna show up at the bottom of the list somewhere. I still think that. I don't think it's going to, probably crack above 8. I would say, but I think it'll show up a blip, and I think for much the same reason that you see GTA continually selling. It's a bread and butter game. It is a game that you buy with a system, and even though there are pretty much everybody has played it, I think it's the same thing. Just about everybody has played GTA, but they still keep buying copies. So I think it'll pop on there. I don't know what it'll replace, but I think it'll pop up there.
And Tony brought up a good point. Like Skyrim was came out last year, remastered, and it showed up on the NPDs.
Yep.
So, hey, we've seen it before.
But to be fair, Skyrim Remastered came out on 3 platforms. It's only coming out on 1, which will probably have 6 billion user base by then, maybe 7, you know?
Yeah, but think about how game-hungry people with Switch consoles are for a real game like this. I mean, this is the first time this is an experience like this.
I don't know, Brett, I don't think people being game-hungry on Switch is applicable anymore. There's plenty of games, and by that time, okay, if you're a Switch owner, what are you going to buy, Skyrim or Mario?
Both.
No, I mean, you can only pick one. Let's just be honest now. It's not us. Regular people can only really choose one. They're going to pick Mario.
Regular people don't only choose one for holiday Christmas shopping.
No, but if, you know...
What about Zelda?
I see what you're saying, though. Yeah, you're right. Maybe they could go fuck both of them. I want Zelda.
maybe it's possible. Yeah, here's the thing. If this weren't around holiday season, I would not feel as strongly about this prediction, but I think that the library if you just got a Switch, it is an easy gift idea for everybody in your luck. Billy just got a Nintendo. Okay, well, what games are you getting him? Okay. And I've seen it happen time and time again. Parents get on the phone, they're like, okay, Billy got a Switch. We picked up Mario Kart and Zelda. Aunt Joan is going to get him Zelda, and so the only thing really left on the list is Skyrim. And so especially, like, maybe they'll be getting to Switch, and then you're not going to get 4 games, and I don't know anybody like that, but I do know of several people who, like, if you just got a console, like, with maybe they'll be months. Getting to Switch, and then...
Oh, what was that?
I don't know.
Don't worry about that.
Don't worry about it. Okay.
Don't worry about that.
So yeah, I mean, they could be getting the Switch for Christmas, but I think for everybody that already has a Switch, like, Switch games are going to be an easy Christmas idea. So I don't think we're going to see the usual limitation of, they already got their game, or they spent their monthly allocation. Because whatever they don't get, they'll probably buy with their own Christmas money too.
I'll tell you something. Like, if the Switch, you know, like, if they replaced Mario Kart 8 with Skyrim, like when Mario Kart 8 came out and instead released Skyrim, I would say definitely would have come out in the NPD's top 10. Like, it would have been, like, pretty high too. But there's already a lot of games people want to buy for the Switch. There's Mario Kart, there's Mario plus Rabbids, there's Splatoon 2, I mean.
Trust me, I've been more confident in certain predictions that I've made, but I have this
Arms.
It's gonna sell because it's Skyrim. It's like GTA. There's a weird X factor there that we're not going to take into account enough, and it'll crack. And trust me, when it happens, I'll be like, I'm kind of surprised. I have no idea what that is.
Adam, that's you, man. Every time that sound comes up, it's you doing something.
I'm not doing anything.
Yeah, you were. You were, like, scratching your shit. but Brett, if that's the case, how come Skyrim is in on NPD all the time?
Because it's not going to last up there. But keep in mind, it was on NPDs for fucking ever.
Yeah, it was on there for a minute. Yeah, that's true. You know?
And so you're opening it to you're opening it to a new audience. Granted, these people probably have access to Skyrim on other platforms. But even then, like, I know people, and this is the thing I don't get. I know people who have already bought Skyrim 3 times and they're going to buy it again for the Switch. Why? I don't know. Like, I imagine you've gotten all the content out of that game that you could, but they are, in fact, genuinely excited about it. It's weird the number of people I've even heard just kind of be like, yeah, I'll probably pick it up. Like, you don't even sound that excited about it, but you're like, yeah, I'll probably get it.
You just got a reflex at that point. You know, that's crazy, man. All right, so that's going to do it. So one thing, this is going to be, might be shocking to some of you, right? And this is the first time I'm saying this. So I buried the hatchet with somebody on Twitter that I had big beef with, right?
Oh.
And I'm not going to get too much into the story because I actually want to have him on Throwdown, right? Him and I talked about it, so I'm going to have him on Throwdown in the near future, especially since he's a huge Xbox guy. So I buried the hatchet with Mr. Jess Corden from Windows Central. Him and I are cool with each other now. We've been talking since last night. He hit me up. He apologized, I apologized, and we're like, you know what? We're too old for this fanboy bullshit. We're both professionals in industry. Bury the hatchet, and let's just talk about games. So this guy, I'm going to be honest with you, he's blowing me the fuck away with this Microsoft and Windows knowledge. I'm like, damn, I've never heard somebody talk about Windows like that. This shit is crazy. You know?
You haven't been in a room with Adam for very long.
I guess I haven't. I'm like, Adam, I think I found your long-lost brother or something, because this guy was hitting me with some facts. I'm like, damn, you know? So I want to get him on probably before the Scorpio drops and then afterwards, you know? And again, and that's also to show you motherfuckers that two grown men could bury the hatchet and not let stupid console war bullshit get between them. You know what I'm saying? So shout out to Jess Corden. I could not believe I would have been saying that last week, but I could be a big man too. So fuck all that shit. So shout out to you, Jess. Keep doing what you're doing, man. And that's going to be that. So this was our first episode over on Twitch. We actually had 5 people watching, which is more than usual. So
nice.
Thank you for all you Twitch guys. Hopefully, you guys are going to, you know, help that side grow. Manny and I were talking about this. We're going to let you into some insider shit. I kind of had a fucked up mentality about this, because I was thinking that we're going to probably move over to Twitch eventually because of how fucked up YouTube is. But it seems that YouTube is leaving us alone for now. And Manny's theory is that since we put it up in your face, we're adult content, they're leaving us alone for now. So, and I was also told, and Carlos brought this up to my attention, it's very hard to gain us a Twitch audience, which lets me know different types of audiences. So my thinking is now, okay, we're going to keep doing our thing on YouTube, obviously, and we're just going to grow an extra audience over on Twitch. So that'll be good. You know, that'll be fantastic. So
we're going to have crossplay too, man.
Yeah, we're having crossplay, you know. Crossplay. So you dudes over on, you know, YouTube could somehow ask me that. Don't worry, nothing's changing. We're here. We're good. You know,
the only one thing that allows us to, you know, to broadcast to both Twitch and YouTube, and also get these wonderful little graphics that you see moving around here around us.
You know,
it's really good stuff. So it's all a win-win situation. And, you know, it also makes us, you know, makes our show look nice, fancy and nice. And, you know, how many other shows do you know that does both?
Yeah, exactly. Let's just be honest. So we want to welcome all you guys. Please spread the word. We already gained like 2 extra followers tonight, which is good. Hey, you start small and you build it up, you know. Spread the word,
thank
please,
you,
man. Awesome, man. Throw down. All right, so yeah, that's pretty much it. So thank you for watching and listening. Subscribe to Throw Down on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Twitch at Throw Down Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco. Tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
I'll see you later, guys.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
The Kuroko no Basket movie is out on the internet, so go watch it.
Brett Murdoch.
It's been real, party people.
Adam Vale.
Watch Lucha Underground. Tell me you watch that wrestling.
And Brian Manjoma.
Go buy GTA 5. It's not selling
you. Yeah.
Well, at all.
Oh, man. All right, guys. We'll see you next time. Later.
See ya.
Peace.
Peace.